This show is for educational purposes only and is not personalized advice. Consult your tax advisor before taking action. All investments involve risk of loss. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Read show notes for full disclosure.
Welcome to the Physician Family Financial Advisors podcast, where physician moms and dads like you can turn today's worries about taxes and investing into all the money you need for retirement and college.
Hello, physician moms and dads. I am Nate Renneke, certified financial planner and primary advisor here at Physician Family Financial Advisors.
And I am Ben Utley, a certified financial planner and the service team leader here at Physician Family. Today, we are going to change things up a little bit. In the past, when Nate and I were prepping for the show, the first question I would ask him is, what are you hearing from our clients and from the listeners? What questions are you getting? And we would choose one lucky question out of that big list, and we would develop content around that and help you with whatever information we could. And it just got a little bit too overwhelming to pick the very best question. And so what we decided we would do today is take all of the questions that we have and answer them one by one until we run out of time. So that way we're able to bring more financial plannery goodness to you and hopefully spark more questions for you, just give you an idea about some of the kinds of things that your colleagues are asking about. Nate, can you give us the first question, please?
Yeah, it's about taxes. Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask you about this because you just prepared our tax guide. Mm-hmm. So we have a tax guide to help people answer this question.
Great.
But the question I got was, how do I choose the right tax preparer?
Good question. I see physicians in two life situations. Those who are focused primarily on medicine and who do not own rental incomes and are not running their practice. And the other category is those who are maybe managing a practice, running their practice, and operating other businesses on the side, such as rental real estate. So I think in the second category, it's important to have a live human being prepping your taxes, a certified mm-hmm. public accountant. So they're going to help you with the upstream work, that the stuff that comes before the tax return, including cleaning up your books, ledger entries, journal entries, making sure that everything is squared up and that your books are ready to go. There are some nuances that go with owning several pieces of rental income property and administrative headaches that go with that. And it's nice to have a person lift that burden for you. So for those folks, I would say to go with a certified public accountant. And we have seen our clients pay somewhere between $1,000 and $10,000 for the preparation of those tax returns. Now, for the lucky others, you can use TurboTax to prepare your taxes and do so fearlessly. I sat down on the couch this weekend with my daughter, and she booted up TurboTax, and we were able to grind through her taxes in less than an hour. And I was absolutely shocked at how good the process was and how clean the interview was and how many different circumstances and situations they were able to tackle. And if it weren't for the corporation that I run, I would be very tempted to just dive right in there and TurboTax it myself. And I was also surprised that the cost for a federal and state tax return was less than $150. So, mm-hmm. You know, you can snap a picture of your W-2 and it fills in all the blanks. You can attach it to your financial, your brokerage software, and it sucks in Schedule D information. So just, I think that most of our listeners should be using TurboTax or something like it.
Right. Yeah, I use TurboTax.
And there you go. There's a ringing endorsement.
Yeah. CFP using TurboTax. Yeah. So yeah, I'm with you. Okay, cool. So TurboTax or CPA. Mm-hmm. We have a couple CPAs that we refer clients to. So if clients are listening.
Yeah. And if you want a tax guide, which has our list of tax preparers that we like, as well as a ringing endorsement of TurboTax, for which we get no money, just write podcast@physicianfamily.com and we will ship you a copy. Next question.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. So the next question is about loan payments. So I'm kind of the loan guy because I used to work at a bank. So I'll answer this one. But the question was, so they said, I made a large payment toward my mortgage And then they asked, why didn't my automatic payment come out afterwards?
Mm.
Okay. So this reminds me of a story. I had a doctor, we served this doctor for years, an oncologist in Chicago. She had the exact same situation happen to her. She wanted to pay down her mortgage sort of aggressively. And really, the reason for that wasn't because of the interest rate or anything like that. It was so that they could become debt-free before they retire.
Nice.
You know, when you become debt-free before you retire, you just feel a lot more secure with your retirement nest egg. Basically, your expenses go way down in thousands of dollars a month. And so it makes it a lot more manageable to live off of kind of what you've built.
Right.
Right. But the problem was when she called, I'm going to use a term here, when she called the emotionless empire, which is also known as the bank, she asked them to make these extra mortgage payments. And it made her feel like the problem was solved because her banker made the extra mortgage payment for her. And then the next month or months to come for, I think it was almost a year, she couldn't get her automatic payments to come out and she couldn't figure out why. So when she called, she intended on having the banker make an interest-only payment, right? But they didn't do that. And then they coded it as what they call a future payment. And she didn't really understand this. It was confusing, right? But I believe what the bank does in this situation is, I mean, it's dang near theft. They take your money, they set it to the side, and then they just make future payments. And the terrible part about this is that they continue to charge you interest on the full balance.
Oh, dog, that's evil. That's just plain wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's wrong because, you know, they know what they're doing when they're doing that. You know,
I feel like the bank does, but the banker may not. The banker is just indifferent. They don't
correct
care.
Yeah.
They're just getting you off the phone.
I'm going to make one tiny correction because I know you meant this, but when you said it, you misspoke. You said interest only, and I know that you meant principal only.
Principal.
Yeah, she was trying to reduce her. It rolls off the tongue because interest only loans, right? We heard about that before COVID. So
right. So she meant to make a principal only payment, but she ended up coding it as future payments. She was incredibly frustrated because obviously she'd lost a lot of money in interest. But the reality is, I think that another reason she was frustrated is she trusted her banker.
So the moral of the story is to stop the juice from running. You have to be explicit with the paperwork pushers and say, hey, I want this to be a principal payment. I want it to go to work right now and I want to keep my other payments running.
That's right.
Awesome. Okay, next question.
This is kind of a unique question because it's unique to every person, but I got the question, should we move closer to grandparents?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I said.
Yes. Built in babysitting. Occasionally you get to take a little break and go have a meal at somebody else's house or then invite them over to your house. Win-win. Next question.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So the next question is, should I count on hitting my RVUs? And this is a cash flow question. So they want to know, should I plan my investments around hitting my RVUs or should I take a more conservative approach? And I have maybe once in serving 200 physicians seen a physician not hit their RVUs.
So what they want is they want to make sure they get their guaranteed paycheck and they're afraid that, you know, the time or inexperience or more likely attention to care is going to keep them from hitting the productivity requirements.
Right.
And so they're feeling nervous that maybe that won't happen and it will derail their investment stuff, you know. So, you know, the thing that just strikes me as like bothersome and wrong about this is, you know, there shouldn't be RVUs. There shouldn't be relative value units. It should be that everyone is able to get care. But with that said, you know, so what's been your experience with docs hitting or not hitting their RVUs?
Well, I'll just say always. It's almost always, but they pretty much always hit their RVUs. And the danger in taking a conservative approach to your plans is that when you hit your RVUs, you have a bunch of money sitting on the sideline.
Right.
Right. So they get really conservative with their income. And then at the end of the year, they call me and they have $50, $60, $100,000 sitting on the sidelines.
Right.
And they should be investing that and they should pretty much plan on hitting them.
Yeah, or using it some way. I mean, even if they're not investing it, they could be paying down debt with it. Or I think there are ways to keep that money from just sitting there and feeding more interest to the grubby interest machine, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. I'm going to let you answer this question because you've seen this many, many times. Okay. I have too. But should I buy into my Surge Center?
Oh, I'm gonna give that a resounding. Almost always. So
yeah, almost always. Yeah.
So I was doing some research about this physician owned factories of production one time, and I called a guy and I said, there's this piece of equipment that physicians are putting together, a leasing outfit, and I want to find out more about it. And he was a guy who was in that industry, and he said the only time it doesn't work out is when the physicians don't use the equipment that they own. He said, this always works out when it's a leasing entity or a company they put together to use the equipment for their patients. And that mm-hmm. was the magic key for me. So what I've seen going forward is physicians who own their medical office building that they practice in, or they own the surgery center where they do procedures, typically do really well. And I think it just goes back to the invest in what you know kind of thing. So mm-hmm. I've not seen that work out poorly very often. And in the times when it's worked out poorly, it's because the organization was so large that nobody really knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, it tends to work out. If it gets torpedoed, it's usually politics. It's not finances. So in most cases, right. I say that's a pretty decent deal for most folks.
Yeah. Agreed. I generally see it work out. It's hard to give the stamp of approval on everything because sure. at the end of the day, it's a business. But right. I mean, I see it work out, and it's kind of a big scary loan sometimes I have to take out to buy in.
Yeah.
And usually it works. Well,
and I would say another thing. So if you're thinking about doing this, don't send us your financials. Don't send us their backward history showing how great this is going to be, because all that can change in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
So, these are very small businesses. It is a higher risk way. It's way higher risk than what you're going to get in publicly traded securities. The past is not prologue. So you can't look at the backward looking financials and estimate what things are going to do. Just if you're going to do it, hold your nose, limit your exposure and dive in.
Right. Okay. I'm 10 years out from retirement. Should I cancel my life and disability insurance?
Good question. So we're both credentialed in this area. Do you want to take it or do you want me to?
Yeah, well, this question was actually asked to me. Some of these questions I got from other team members too.
Okay, cool.
So this one was asked directly to me. Okay. So in their situation and pretty much in any situation, the answer is no. I should not cancel. Definitely not cancel your disability coverage.
Yeah.
I think physicians feel like disability insurance costs a lot. And it does.
Yeah.
But the reality is the closer and closer you get, the less and less you're paying in future years towards your disability.
Right.
And you still need it. I mean, you still need to be covered until the day that you're retired just to replace your income.
Exactly.
So disability is sort of a slam dunk. Life insurance, it's still a no. You should not cancel it.
Mm-hmm.
But with a little asterisk, which is assuming that your life insurance was set up correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Like you bought some term insurance that as you go through your career, some of it drops off.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you bought a 10-year and a 20-year term life insurance. This should be done for you already. It should automatically drop off.
That's right.
Off.
That's what I've seen is with clients where I did their life insurance planning 10 or 20 years ago, those policies have come to term and expired and we just let them go.
Right. And in this situation, which I'm sure is very similar for a lot of the listeners, is a few million dollars in term life insurance, which is not very expensive. And they were a few million dollars short of finishing up retirement.
Mm-hmm.
They had 10 years left. So their money is going to double probably in that 10 years.
Yeah.
And if for some reason the physician in this family were to pass, they would need to fill up retirement because there's no more income.
Yeah, exactly. So it's still necessary. And
yeah,
absolutely. Right answer.
Okay. Here's our last question. I just got married. My spouse has children and pays child support based on tax returns. How do we combine finances? Okay. And I'm going to answer this one as well, Ben.
Okay. We're in the deep end of the pool. I'm going to let you swim out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I thought this was a good question because it brings sort of taxes and money into a question that the root of the question, or why they're actually asking this question, really doesn't have much to do with taxes.
Yeah.
Or investments.
It's not about the money. It's a financial question that's not actually about the money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so the reality is, you know, listen to your CPA if you need to file separately because of this strange child support situation. That's fine. But you should combine finances in most cases in your own unique way. So we've talked about this before, but there's in cash flow planning or with I guess, combining finances planning, there's sort of two ways you can go about this. There's the our bank accounts. And then there's the what you might call his, hers, and our bank account.
Right.
But one way or another, you need to combine forces and combine your goals. So creating goals, going at the goal together, combining incomes, and kind of having a common, trying to think of a different word for goal, a common
vision for success.
Vision.
Yeah.
Yes. Vision is super important because going at retirement alone is a lot more difficult than if you're going at it sort of with your team member.
That's a perfect last question to take us out. So we'll come back with more questions next time. So until then, remember, you're not just making a living, you're making a life.
Thank you for listening to the Physician Family Financial Advisors podcast. Are you getting all the tax breaks you really deserve? To find out, get your copy of the Overtaxed Doctor's Retirement Investing Checklist, available at physicianfamily.com/go.